Well, good morning, CPC South Campus. Good to see you this morning. My name is Sandy Hughes. I'm the pastor of communications here at CPC, and I'm filling in for Dom, who is enjoying a little bit of vacation in Australia. How nice is that? So this actually is my favorite Sunday of the year because of that extra hour of sleep. That one extra hour, I always feel like this is the Sunday I am the most rested. So I'm always thankful for the fall back. But the bummer part is daylight is shorter. So I'll miss that. But we're going to continue our series in the book of James. And way back in the day when I was a high school ministry intern at Peninsula Bible Church, learning to live off $500 a month on the peninsula, I was at an ATM machine at Wells Fargo to withdraw $20 to fill my gas tank. That will tell you how long ago this was, $20 that filled a gas tank. And living on $500 a month for me was a trial. After working four jobs and going to school full-time, I had learned to live on a budget to pay for college. But $500 a month was tough. So I'm at the ATM machine. I'm withdrawing my $20, and it spits out $60, but only deducted $20 from my account. So now I'm sitting here going, wow, I got 40 extra bucks. And before I knew it, my trial had turned into a temptation. It was almost like the old cartoons where, you know, you got the angel on the shoulder telling you, hey, take that back into the teller. And you got the devil cartoon figure on this shoulder saying, who's going to never, go have fun with 40 extra dollars. And right there, I wasn't quite sure what to do. That trial of learning to live off $500 a month just became a temptation. And last week, we were reminded earlier in James that trials and sufferings are never for nothing. That those things produce endurance and they make us mature and complete in Christ. Well, this week, James warns us that those trials we encounter can turn to something more dangerous, temptation leading to sin, which can lead to death. So if you have a Bible or open the Bible app, turn to James chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 12 this morning. And here's what James has to say. Blessed is the one who perseveres under the trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. So James moves from this idea of trials and tests into temptation. And verse 12 is this hinge that connects verses 2 through 11 to 12 or 13 through 18. And he says, blessed are the ones who persevere under trial, having stood the test. That word test in the Greek has two meanings. James has used it for trials and suffering, but now he transitions using for the second definition as temptation. He's indicating to us that often temptation will accompany trials. James goes on to exhort us about temptation. He wants fellow believers to understand that no one is exempt from temptation. Just like we all face various trials and tests of our faith, we also face multiple temptations. No one is immune. But our response to those temptations can lead to either faithfulness or to sin. And in verse 13, James is emphatic of where temptation does not come. James tells us temptation does not come from God. Say that with me. Temptation does not come from God. In fact, temptation is not even in God's nature. God is good. He is holy. He is set apart from evil. God does not lure us to do evil. His motives are pure, and his desire is not to bring us harm. So when people say, God is tempting me, what they're really saying is they gave into sin and they're going to blame it on God. It's not my fault. It's God's fault. Scripture makes it clear that tests and trials are used by God to strengthen and mature us in our faith. God is perfecting our character in trials. As James says in verse 12, God wants us to persevere and receive that crown of life. So the question begs, so where does temptation come from? Well, temptation starts from desire. Verse 14 and 15, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. So James is really revealing the true source of temptation. It's our desires. Our desires entice us. That word entice is actually a fishing term. It means to bait. To bait. Now, I'm not into fishing, but my brother and uncle are fabulous fishermen. And that's my brother's up there somewhere. My brother will text me his picture of the latest fish he caught. And I'm always amazed at how big the fish is that he catches. And I always ask him, how in the world did you catch that fish? And his response is always this: I choose a tasty lure. I choose a tasty lure. That'll preach if you think about it. Temptation is just like a tasty lure. Something external gets dropped in our life that entices our desires, entice our lusts. We've seen it from the beginning of man. Our desires get the best of us. The lure gets dropped. The hunger stirs within, mixed with curiosity, and we are motivated by our desire to have it. Adam and Eve are the perfect example in Genesis. The serpent drops the lure, you can be like God. And Eve took the bait, hook, line, and sinker. She bought the lie that she could know better than God, that she could be God, that she knew what was best for her and Adam. Unlike the story of Adam and Eve, James makes no mention of Satan being the source of our evil desires. The blame lies directly with us. We can't blame God, we can't blame Satan, we can't blame our boss, we can't blame our teachers, our family, or our friends. Paul reminds us of this in Romans 7 when he says, for I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, I do. And this is what I keep doing. It's that battle that we call the flesh, those evil desires, and the spirit. But notice the progression of sin. First, it's the desire. The tasty lure is dropped. The tasty lure is meant to trick the fish that looks harmless to the fish, and the fish is enticed away from its security, and before you know it's hooked, and the fisherman takes his reel and drags that fish away. And its future is in someone's frying pan for dinner. Every day, we're enticed. We can be dragged away by whatever temptations we battle. It starts with the thought that we know what's better for us, that life would be better if we did things our way, not God's way. Back to my ATM story, 40 bucks, who cares? Who's gonna know? Walk now, walk away now, go treat yourself to something fun. Maybe the trial isn't money, but you've been hurt and you want revenge. Or maybe you're lonely, so you do whatever it is to fit in with a group of friends. Or maybe it's living with a difficult spouse and you think divorce and adultery is a better answer. These tasty lures, these evil desires lead us down to the road of disobedience. And so the progression then takes temptation, which leads us to disobedience. James moves from this fishing imagery to this imagery of giving birth. In verse 15, he says, then after desires has conceived, it gives birth to sin. Well, facing temptation isn't experiencing sin. Please hear that. Facing temptation isn't experiencing sin. Sin is born when we give into temptation. Paul reminds us of that in Galatians 5 when he says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, your lives will produce these evil results: sexual immorality, impure thoughts, eagerness for lustful pleasure, adultery, participation in demonic activities, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, divisions, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other kinds of sin. Whew. See, every time we face temptation, we come to a crossroad, and we have to make a decision: obedience to God or disobedience. There's no in between. It's really one or the other. And when those trials become temptation, we have to figure out how we will respond. So after we're enticed and dragged away and fall into temptation, what happens? Well, temptation can produce death. And Paul goes on in that latter half of verse 15, and he says, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. James shows us that sin keeps moving forward. And when we let it take root in our lives, it can lead to death. See, from the beginning, sin offers itself as something fun and exciting, shiny and new. It can even promise fulfillment. Sin doesn't come along from the start and say, hey, you want to ruin your life? Hey, you want to ruin your family? Hey, let's ruin your character today. No, sin lies to us, telling us that it will meet our needs, that it would never hurt us. But see, unchecked sin will suck the life out of us. The sinner can no longer live out true life in the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Instead, they're walking in the flesh, the polar opposite of the Spirit. I'm reminded of a story I've heard about a little banyan seed. And it said to the palm tree one day, I'm weary of being tossed around by the wind. Let me lodge in your branches. The tree said, remain as long as you like. Soon, the palm tree forgot about its tiny guest. But the seed did not remain idle. Immediately began to work its roots under the bark and into the heart of the trunk itself. And finally, the tree cried out, what are you doing? I'm only the little seed you allowed to rest among your boughs, came the reply. Get out, exclaimed the palm. You've become too large and too strong. I can't leave you now, said the banyan. We've grown together, and I would kill you if I tore myself away. And the palm tree desperately tried to shake itself loose, but to no avail. Eventually, its graceful leaves turned brown and its trunk wasted away. But the banyan continued to thrive until its host could no longer be found. Well, see, sin does that to our lives. When we let it take root and embrace it, it eventually consumes our lives. There's no such thing as little sin, all right? It's like saying someone's a little pregnant. Just doesn't work that way. There's no such thing as little sin. You either are sinning or you're not. You're either pregnant or you're not. When we let our desires direct us, even just a little bit, we're giving birth to sin. And one small step after another, we eventually give birth to death. Well, James has told us, spent a lot of time telling us about this deadly danger and this progression of sin and where it leads. And it sounds, quite frankly, utterly hopeless. Well, guess what? Our condition can change. We don't have to be left in the grave in the all-consuming darkness of sin. There's the good news. And James gives us a command to overcome temptation. Starting in verse 16, he says, "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." James doesn't leave us in the darkness of sin. He gives us a command. He says, "Don't be deceived, my brothers and sisters." James wants to make sure we're listening to him. It's almost like he's pleading with us as he calls us brothers and sisters. He wants us to see the truth. The command is don't be deceived. James is reminding us of our true nature, how easily we can become enamored with a tasty lure, and how easy it is for sin to entangle us, not allowing us to move forward. If we're really honest, sin is waiting for us. It's waiting to devour each and every one of us. And it's in our nature to follow after sin, to think that we know better, that we can be our own God. Think about the words of the prophet Jeremiah, who said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" And that's why James reminds us, don't be deceived. Even our own hearts deceive us. It comes back to the path we want to follow, the way that is full of life with testing, perseverance, maturity, and being made clean, being made complete, or the way full of selfishness, desire, sin, and death. So again, how do we overcome temptation? You know, the type Enneagram 3 that I am likes the 5 points to overcome temptation. And when I sat there studying this passage, I about fell over because the answer is so simple. It's a reminder that God is good. We fight temptation with the goodness of God. James reminds us every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. We can trust him that he has our best. We can trust that every good thing comes from him, and we can believe that he is unchanging. If you remember last week, Mark talked about verse 5 in James 1. He says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." This is a reminder right back to verse 5 that God is generous and he gives generously. And what he gives is always good. It's perfectly good. James calls God the Father of lights. Well, if we think about it, God created light, and God is light. 1 John 1:5 tells us God is light and that in him there is no darkness. And I think James is reminding us of God's purity, that he can't be tempted and he doesn't tempt anyone. And then James goes on about the ultimate good gift to help us fight temptation. James gave us a command to fight temptation, and now James gives us a gift to overcome temptation. Verse 18, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he has created. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth. See, through Jesus, we are born again. We have a new birth. We have a new life. His death and resurrection give us new life. The Father of lights, who has raised Jesus from the dead, raises us from the dead and gives us a new life. See, Jesus lived the perfect, sinless life. He died on a cross for all of our sin, enduring God's wrath, and then rose from the dead, conquering death, and gave us life. And God spoke the word of truth into our spiritually dead lives and gave us new life through Jesus. As Peter would say, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. See, everything we need to overcome temptation and conquer sin has been given to us through the good gifts of God, our new life in Christ. We have become his first fruits, meaning we have been set apart, specifically belonging to God. Because of our new life, we have died to sin. Sin does not define us anymore. It does not define us anymore. We no longer need to live in the darkness. The Father of lights has made a way for us to battle temptation. As we continue to be transformed through him, those tasty, shiny lures become dull and bland compared to the beauty of our new life in Christ. So maybe you're wondering, well, that's a lot to take in, Sandy. But I'm more interested in the end of your story. What happened at the ATM? Well, I stood there with the extra money in my hands and the battle raging inside of me. Do I take it and run, or do I run into the teller? And as I stood there with the $40 extra in my hand, God brought to mind the very verse that is carved into wood at the PBC auditorium. It's from 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. For me, that was a great reminder to me that God was good, that God is good. And it was a great reminder to me that he would provide for me exactly what I needed. It was a trial turned into temptation. Yet God used his word to remind me of who he is, that he is good, and that he will take care of me. And as I looked at that $40, I knew it wasn't worth it for what Jesus had been through for me. So I walked into the Wells Fargo, and I told the teller that her machine was spitting out extra money and not taking it out of our accounts. And I can still remember her face of shock and the words that she said. She said, I don't know anyone who would do that for $40. And I was kind of blown away by that. My 23-year-old self was blown away by that. And at that very moment, God opened the door for me to tell her why I returned the money. And he opened the door to tell her about who God is and what he has done for me. So James describes two paths here on the road to trials and temptation. There's a path that leads to maturity, endurance, and faith through our trials, or there's a path that leads from our trials to temptation, desire, sin, and death. And James has given us the gift to have joy during our time of trials, but how we respond will lead us down one of these two paths. And so my prayer for us this week is that you would ask God during your trials to lead you to maturity, to lead you to endurance, and a stronger faith. Because the other path leads to death, and it causes so much more pain. So let me leave you with a couple of questions to think about. What trial in your life is starting to become a temptation? What tasty lure are you being enticed with? Have you asked God for wisdom and help? Have you talked about it with someone so they can help hold you accountable? Because of the new life God has created in us through the word of truth, we can understand and defeat temptation through Jesus so that we can all live an abundant life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the book of James and everything you have taught us so far in this short first chapter. And Lord, as we think about our trials, we think about the things that are luring us from those trials into temptation. Father, I pray that we would pray Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Father, as we face our week this week, as we face our trials, as we face temptation, maybe we're in the midst of sin, Father, I pray that we would come and run to you, knowing that you love us no matter where we're at and what we've done, and that you want to give us your good gift, the gift of your Son, the gift of new everlasting life with you. Be with us this week in all the things we say and do. In your precious name we pray. Amen.